You're listening to the Pacifica National Board, the Programming Committee, and I am Kathy Davis, convening this committee. And if those folks who are in the background have noise, could you go to mute as we proceed? And the elected members of this committee are from the PNB, I should say, are David Beaton, Lizette King, George Ryder, Bonnie Simmons, and myself, Kathy Davis, and Rob Robinson, still maintaining a position on the committee since WPFW hasn't elected a member subsequent to that. So I want to welcome everyone, and I'll take attendance at this moment so that we can have a public record.
This is Leslie.
Hi. Leslie?
Yes.
Okay. Leslie, you're not actually on the committee. Are you joining us as a...
I signed up for this committee. I'm on the sign-up sheet.
From what station?
KPFK.
Okay. Leslie Radford.
Yeah, that's cool.
Also, yeah. Okay, no, I didn't realize you were on the committee. So, so let's see. So I'll just call the roll. David Beaton?
Here.
George Ryder?
Here.
Rob Robinson?
Here.
And Leslie Radford?
Yes.
And is that King? Is not here. And myself, Kathy Davis, also present. Okay, so so just to be clear, could we mention the names of the stations that you are on, so that people can know that. David?
What's that?
David, your station?
Oh, I'm with WSLR, LPFM affiliate.
Okay, and George?
KPFT.
Okay, and Rob?
WPFW in Washington, D.C.
Okay. And Leslie, you said you're from KPFK, and Kathy, I'm from WBAI. And I realize we're also missing Bonnie Simmons. And I believe that she is from KPFA?
Yes.
Okay, so she's absent today. All right, so to start with, I should ask if there is anyone here who would volunteer to take notes, to be a note taker, and to keep our minutes for the time being.
I'll take notes.
Okay, thank you. That's David.
Yeah, if you'll take some notes as well, and I'll send you what I got.
Okay, that sounds like a great plan. Thank you so much. And could I have a volunteer for a timekeeper?
I'll keep time. This is George.
Okay. Thank you, George. All right, that sounds great. So I also wanted to, before getting into the meeting, set the dates for upcoming meetings so that we can get on the calendar early enough. So from my perspective, my best day to meet is a Monday. So I would like to propose that we continue doing that. Is there... are there any other considerations that that any of you have for dates for meetings?
This is George. The second and third Monday, the second and third Mondays, I have Green Party meetings. Otherwise, it'd be fine. So the first and fourth, or if there's an occasional fifth, that would be all right.
Okay. Anyone else have any difficulty with Mondays?
No, this is Leslie, and on alternate weeks, I have South Central Farm meetings on Monday, but I'll do my best to work around it.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you. All right, so then, since today is the 30th, and I think it would be good to meet at least once before the in-person meeting, which is the weekend, I believe, of April 24th, 25th, 26th. So I would like to propose that we meet, what did you say, the second and third? You can't.
First and fourth.
First and fourth, which will, yeah, we can't, I can't do that if it's,
So that would conflict with the, we would have to meet after the PND meeting, the 27th.
Let's go ahead and, oh dear, is there another day?
Well, there's another
the
day.
28th. The 28th would be all right. I mean, the 27th would be all right.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to meet the day coming off back from the PND.
Well, the PND is which date? Oh, it's the 26th.
Is it 24, 25, and 26?
26, yeah.
All right, so I propose then, that being the case, we meet on right after the PMB meeting, May 4th. Are there any
May 4th, all right.
May 4th, any objections to that?
No.
No, okay. And then, unless otherwise, unless something comes up, let's try to meet the first Monday of the month.
Okay.
After that.
8 p.m.? So the next meeting is the 4th of May.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, May 4th, 8 p.m. Okay, so unless there's any objection... and, you know, if just something happens, I suppose we could always communicate and make a change if necessary. So next I wanted to go over the remainder of the agenda. And we have 30 minutes set for a presentation by Rob Robinson. The first 15 minutes would be to go over the work done on this committee and some of the earlier sessions over the last couple of years when Rob was chair of this committee. And I feel that there's a lot of work that was done that we should look at and consider before going forward. And 15 minutes for his presentation and 15 minutes for us to respond with questions and observations. And then following that, another 30 minutes in which we can talk about how we want to move forward and have a general discussion outlining what goals this committee should carry for this coming, for the remainder of this session of the PNB. So unless there are any objections or if either of you have a suggestion or an addition to agenda, I'd like to proceed with that agenda. Any objections? No? Okay, great. So so we'll proceed without objection, and I'll give the floor to Rob Robinson for 15 minutes to make a presentation. And I just want to note that I sent out a lot of documents that I received from Rob. I in no way expected you to be able to go through those documents, but my goal is that with Rob's presentation today, along with our discussion later, we could review these documents and then come back at the next meeting with more foundation to move forward. So those are my thoughts on how we can proceed. So, Rob, thanks, and please start your presentation.
Thank you very much, Kathy. The thing that I can say about my approach to the programming committee in the past was that it was in response to two problems that I saw with both the foundation and with our governance structure. The first was the absolute absence of any structure whatsoever. We have no goals as an organization, few if any plans, almost none that are committed to paper, very few priorities and few policies. And as a result of this, we have this other problem that because you don't have any of those things in place that define what direction we're taking as an organization or how we develop, it's very difficult for us to establish any objective measures. So we don't have a program evaluation really in place. I know Texas is undertaking the process. I don't know where they are. I know that KPFA began doing an evaluation in 2004 that took almost 2 years to complete. But for the most part, we don't have things like evaluations. We don't have listener feedback. We don't have focus groups for listeners or members or non-members to talk to us about our programming. So we really don't have any objective measures for the programming. And as a result of that, there's no way that we can hold anybody in management accountable. So the purpose of the programming policy in the first place was to put some structure in place that would provide some ultimately down the road some direction, and then hopefully some objective measures that we could bring into play on that. One of the reasons why I think programming is particularly critical and why there should be a policy for programming is because it's fundamentally what we do as an organization. Programming is, we're in the business of conducting broadcast operations at radio stations, so it's what we produce. The other thing is that programming is uniquely the thing that determines for us in governance is whether or not we're following, whether or not we're fulfilling the mission, and how well we're fulfilling the mission. And thirdly, programming is the thing that creates audiences for us. And audiences are the element that enable us to be self-sustaining, which is a key aspect of the Pacifica mission in the first place. So my feeling was that not having a programming policy was just exacerbating this structural problem that we have in Pacifica with no goals, plans, priorities, or policies, and no objective measures. So there's this problem of direction and accountability. Everybody has a copy of the programming policy there. I'm not asking you to look at it now. I'll run over some of the high points of it. But it was adopted. It's important for you to know that it was adopted in October of 2006. After about 2 years, is everyone there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay.
We're all here.
I had an odd noise, I'm sorry. It was adopted in 2006 after a couple of years. It was repeatedly submitted to management, to the GMs and the program directors to comment upon. And in the past, we have always invited the program directors to the programming committee meeting, so we in no way tried to lock people out of the process. The other thing I'd like everybody to know about the programming policy is that there were two criticisms we deliberately tried to avoid. One was we did not want the programming committee to be accused of trying to adopt a role of producing programming itself or calling for certain types of programming to be produced. That's not the role of governance. We understand that. On the other hand, what we were concerned about was that it is the job of governance to establish, to assure that there are assets in place, resources in place to support the assets, and to make decisions about the directions and so on and so forth. The other concern we had is that we're constantly being told, those of us that are volunteers, particularly on the PNB, that we're not radio professionals and we don't know. So what we tried to do in this policy is make it clear that we were concerned about developing standards, and all of this, of course, could be done in conjunction with management. So in terms of the document specifically, one of the things that it does is it defines different types of programming, programming that's national programming, programming that's local programming, affiliate programming, and talks about all of those and the role that they play in a healthy network. We also talked about the importance of conducting the Community Assessment Board, the ascertainment values. We're required by CPB funding guidelines to have a community advisory board that hears every year from management the program goals, station services, and policy initiatives relative to the station, and we haven't ever done that, so we're concerned about things like that in supporting the programming, as well as elements like program evaluation at each of the local stations, and concerns about whether or not the budgets and the resources that each of the stations have in place support programming at the local stations. In several places in the document, we supported the relationship to affiliates, and we made it clear that we believe that while we should be collaborating on programming within the network, we should also countenance collaborations with the affiliates. And we're very clear that our relationships with affiliates have helped bring Pacifica programming to larger audiences, you know, outside of our immediate signal areas, and that's very important to us. We defined mission-driven programming, and we indicated that there is no conflict, in our view, between news and public affairs and commentary and cultural and music and other types of programming. We also made it clear that if local stations want to develop a station-based mission, that they're free to do that. We did not deal with the issues of distribution and licensing in this particular document, although we initially planned on it. We can talk about that in more detail later on. We did cite the concerns that constantly arise about programming at the local stations that tend to be somewhat commercial in nature. We understand that there are federal guidelines about not taking money for programming and not promoting programming that supports something that the programmer is involved in, but we constantly have issues at the local stations around these issues. We cited the importance of there being new voices on the air at the local stations, and we went in detail about talking about the importance of programming resources, of making resources available for programming. Many of our stations have expressed concerns in the past about the lack of maintenance and the lack of resources at production facilities, the lack of training, and many of us have dealt in the past with aging antennas, transmitters, generators, backup generators, and the lack of things like, for example, website resources. We supported the use of research in terms of developing programming for the network. We indicated that it would be preferable for us to do research on our programming at our own stations, but we also indicated that Arbitron research is available and it should be used, although it's not necessarily the most useful information for all of our purposes. We underscored our support for compliance with FCC regulations. We talked about the issue of using developing programming calendars for the network so the local stations will be aware of what some of the issues are that are occurring in other parts of the country so that they can collaborate on news stories and anticipate them and work on developing proposals for network broadcasts from time to time. We also talked about the importance of days in history for progressives. One of the things that we often forget to tell our listeners about is the people in the episodes that have brought forward the freedom of women, workers, indigenous peoples, African Americans, Latinos, and other minorities. And we also supported the creation of a position for a program coordinator and indicated that in the event that the network plans to develop new programs for the network, that they should be run past the programming committee. So that's a broad oversight, a broad overview of what is contained in the programming policy, and attached to it is a listing of the Pacifica mission, which is found in the Articles of Incorporation. For those of you that always hear the Pacifica mission discussed but don't know specifically what it is, it's attached to that document. The next document that I'm going to talk about is a resolution that we passed last November. I believe it was November the 14th. And it's a resolution which does a couple of things specifically related to programming. It requires the GMs to come forward with a plan to, number one, reach more listeners than they're currently listening. Number two, to convert more of the current listeners to members than is frequently taking place. And number three, to try to resuscitate inactive members who've stopped, who are no longer financial, to try to convert them back to an active status. This resolution, I personally don't know whether there has been any specific response from the local station managers or not, but this resolution has been in response to the fact that not only are we not seeing many of the things called for in the programming policy being implemented at the local stations, but there are significant trends since 2004 that have resulted in a 16% of loss in our CUME weekly audience from 2004 through 2007. Our time spent listening average throughout the network for all stations is now 5.0 hours per week. And our audience is aging. The median age of our audience now is 50 plus, and 50 and over listeners make up over 50% of the audience at 4 out of 5 of our stations. And I just want to indicate that there's nothing the matter with over 50 listeners. The problem is that the longer over 50 listeners remain listeners, the more likely it is that their listening and donating behavior will change, will go downward. And if we aren't bringing listeners in on the other end, younger listeners, we're going to eventually have a significant problem. And where we are right now, and there's another document that's there that's neither the policy nor the resolution, it's called Solutions, which talks about those figures. We've got fewer people listening. Those who do listen less. We're attracting fewer new and younger listeners. It's taking longer for our stations and costing them more to raise their funds, and our pledge drives are increasingly missing their targets. And the conclusion that comes out of all of that is that we're, as a network, spending more and more money to broadcast programming that fewer and fewer people are tuning into. If you look at some of the, and this is not included here, but if you look at some of the trends going back to 1990, in 1997, you see an audience, a period of growth that begins, that goes through 2004, and in 2004, our audience drops back down, begins dropping back down, and we're now approaching the level that we were in around 2000. And one of the things that coincides with this, and we can't prove anything about this that I'm aware of at this point because we haven't done independent research, but it looks very much like what happened was with the creation of our last national program, Democracy Now!, all of our stations began to see new audience and develop new revenues as a result of that. But in 2004, Democracy Now's distribution strategies began to kick in, and Democracy Now! Was available not just through Pacifica or some of the other non-commercial networks that have that are non-affiliate stations, but that are affiliated with Democracy Now! It became available through podcasts on the internet and through even things like cable television channels locally. And the concern that I think the programming committee should have is that what's happened to Pacifica programming is that in the period since the rise of Democracy Now!, we have failed to develop any new national programs, and the thing about national new programs is that they tend to be produced to a high level of quality such that they attract not simply a broad-based audience, but they attract listeners that are new listeners, which we're not attracting now. We've also passed on developing talent that is capable of attracting people, either at the local stations by taking the better, the more popular programs and producing them to reach larger audiences locally, nor are we developing any talent to complement Democracy Now! We've also passed on digital distribution and licensing, which would enable Pacifica to take its programming and make it available to fundamentally a worldwide audience. And we've really passed on taking the best programs or the programs that are most popular at different stations and getting other stations within the network to share programming as a means of creating a more diverse program schedule that can support larger audiences. So that points to some of the last things that I'll say. One of them is that we have problems with data, particularly since we lost the network programming coordinator as a result of the cutbacks in September. It's very, very difficult to get Arbitron figures out of the network. You can get this stuff, but you have to have codes. You have to know how to download it properly. And so we're not looking at the numbers that tell us where we're going with our audiences, although we know that we're in a slump, that we're now in the fifth year of eroding audiences and revenues. And the second thing is we still don't have detailed information about the pledge drives by program that are reflective of our membership and our fulfillment for those pledge drives. So we're still in a place where we really aren't able to establish the cause and effect relationship between our programming, our audiences, and our membership. And we're now in a very parlous situation financially, I would say. And again, this goes back to the fact that without structure and without specific goals, priorities, plans in place, it's very, very difficult to make the network accountable. And we haven't been able to do that. And we know that we're losing audience. The loss of audience is causing us to lose revenues. But again, we found it impossible to see any response from management that will basically change the state of affairs that we're in right now. And I'm very, very, very concerned for the network. If we don't see something happening soon, you know, I'm very concerned that certain stations will not be able to continue to operate and that eventually all will not be able to continue to operate until we can do something about our inability to produce programming that attracts new audiences, new listeners, and particularly younger ones. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. I'd like to make a stack for anyone who would like to respond with a question or George. An observation. George?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rob, what do you mean by a programming calendar, if I got that phrase correct?
We don't really have something that talks, from a news standpoint, that talks about what are the breaking issues that stations are covering and what are they doing about those issues so that they can basically collaborate on either network broadcasts or use sources and information that's available from other local stations. A number of our stations, ours is one, WPFW, and KPFT is another case in point, have very, very marginal news programming available at all. And some of our stations, for example, don't carry free speech radio news. So many of our stations are very challenged as regards news. So it's simply one of the things that we were suggesting is that the network should maintain a calendar that would help everybody that's in news production and public affairs understand what was going on, what were the issues that were going on, and how were they being covered, and what resources were available from station to station.
So this would be something the stations would forward nationally, and it would be made available to all the other stations.
It would be maintained by the national office. Of course, that's not happening now. The national office has been gutted.
So I've got that right, though. I mean, basically, the local news departments would forward what it is they're working on, and if it looked like there were possibilities for collaboration, then they would do that.
That's correct. The structure of the network previously was, we had a Washington bureau, we had local station news staff and journalists, and we had free speech radio news. There was very little collaboration between those groups in terms of covering news or doing broadcasts. For example, when you have congressional hearings, or if there was a major march, in the run up to the Iraqi war. If there was no coordination, everybody at every station was basically working without the resources that were available throughout the network. And of course, there are the affiliates. We've got 130 some affiliate stations. Those are more resources that are available, both in terms of helping local reporters cover news and understand what's going on, and making people aware of what they're doing in case other stations wanted to, run those stories or parts of the stories.
I got it.
Okay. Anyone else? Hello. Is that Lizette?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm at work at the moment.
Okay. Bonnie Simmons was on the phone and had to leave for the elections committee. Does anyone else have a response to Rob's presentation?
Can I ask a question?
Certainly.
Yeah, and it's directly to Rob. Rob said that the national office is gutted. What does that mean, number one? And number two, this is for anybody who was on the board before. I'm not sure why it was we hired a national programmer and then got rid of that person and position as well. Can somebody explain that?
The decision to remove the network programming coordinator was submitted by the past executive director in a budget to the PNB. And that budget was accepted with one abstention, or with one vote against, in the meeting in September. And I voted against that.
So what did you mean, and what do you mean by the national office is gutted?
We've lost a number of positions in the national office because the local stations are not able to raise enough money to pay the administrative overhead that funded those positions.
Can I make a comment? And if I disappear, it means that I had to go. And I think Rob was alluding to this point. We seem to be working without a plan, not just at the local stations, but nationally. And I'm not sure that the program committee can actually deal with our loss of revenue by itself. So until we have, and I keep asking for the same thing at local level, until we have a comprehensive plan, I'm not sure that we can do very much with each committee working piecemeal. We need to have what maybe some people might call a blueprint. And I don't see that nationally or locally.
This is Kathy. I would like to respond to you, Lizette. As the PMB, if we don't create the blueprint, who will? So I think that while the PMB may be working piecemeal from committee to committee, it is ultimately the responsibility of this PMB to devise, to come up with a plan and find a way to implement it. So I think we have a certain responsibility in creating that plan. And I also want to respond to your earlier question about the national office being gutted. It is true there were many layoffs throughout the network because of budgetary problems. And here at WBAI, we also feel very much gutted. The cuts are somewhat catastrophic throughout the network, certainly here at WBAI. So I think it's important for us to consider what solutions we might come up with in this committee and recommend that to the full PMB.
Can I say something?
Sure.
With respect to the PMB being responsible to create that blueprint, I'm not sure how we would do that, but if the how we would do it is individual members on the PMB sitting down and doing what I think the ED should be doing, because after all, when we recruit an ED, or a general manager for that matter, we try to get from them what skills they have. And one of the skills I know that we seek is what that person's vision is or will be. And I do not remember any of these people at local or national level providing to us that vision, that overall general vision. And after all, they're there for good. We're just passing by 3 years or so. And I'm not sure that we should be taking on that responsibility when we're paying people to manage. And managing is part of sharing with us the vision, and more than that is a part, something for us to discuss and decide.
Okay, well, this is something that you can bring to the PMB, but for the time being,
George,
I think we want to go.
George Stack, please. Can I be heard?
Hello? Oh, I got disconnected, sorry. I'd like to go back to the focus of the programming committee. Does anyone else have a comment?
George Stack, can you hear me?
Yes, George.
Leslie also, when George is finished.
Who is that?
One of the things, I mean, I want to respond to Lizette's comments. She's correct. The general managers, we don't have an ED, so we have an IED at the moment, and but the general managers have been asked to produce a plan to tell us how they're going to improve programming, and specifically to respond to the motion that that Rob mentioned was passed on November 14th about how are you evaluating your programs. That's the first thing. You can't really make decisions about them very well as what should come on and what should go off if you don't know which ones are successful. So. Grace did, in fact, ask the general managers to get back by, actually, the last meeting with their response to the previous program committee resolution. And as far as I know, Duane is the only one who did so, as of last meeting. The intention was to take those to take a look at all of those and to begin to put together some sort of system-wide set of procedures and to sort of look at the best ideas coming back from the stations as far as what kind of national programming should we have, what kind of news services should we have, what kind of local programming should we have, and sort of circulate them around in pretty much the way Rob was suggesting, that we use the national as a kind of both collection device and bully pulpit for good ideas. And I think that process is actually underway. I don't know to what extent any of the other stations are actually responding, but I think the PMB members can if the GMs are not responding, can sort of go into the office and say, hey, this is serious. We need to have you step up to the plate and respond to you. So, I mean, I think that's where it's at the moment, and I'm hoping for something at the next PNB meeting from more than just Dwayne about programs for the future.
All right, was it Leslie? Were you on the stack?
Yes. Yeah, I was. Hi, Rob. It's Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
I really want to thank you for that presentation. That was very helpful and a very nice summary. Brought me up to speed, or at least close to it here. As I'm sitting here taking notes on this, what I'm noticing is that one comment you made was you can't establish cause and effect between programming and revenues at this point because we haven't done the research, we haven't gotten the feedback. Were there plans, was anyone talking about doing that kind of analysis so that we can get that? And let me fold into that question, would the committees of inclusion be useful in that process? Were they considered?
Yes, I mean there's a statement in the policy that supports the conclusions that were drawn several years ago in Berkeley by around race and nationality.
Yeah,
so that's one.
Policy, yeah.
So that's one, but I mean the fundamental problem is that management does not set goals, they don't do evaluation. There is no way for the listeners, unless I'm not clear, I'm not sure of any verifiable system that any of our stations operate to get input from the listeners about the programs. So, you know, we have Arbitron numbers, which it's very hard for the LSBs or for the PNB to get hold of. And we did get hold of them when Nathan was here as the network programming coordinator, but we don't at the local stations keep uniform information about the pledge drives, and we don't do research at the local stations. So while it's possible for us to draw the conclusions between programming and audience and listenership and membership, we don't do that. It's not a measure that our management uses to determine what they put on the air and what they don't put on the air. And it's like everything else. If you're a member of governance, you can't find any goals or plans or priorities or for anything.
Without the data, how can we plan anything at this point?
Right.
But
the reason programming is special, Leslie, is because programming is what creates the audience. And the audience is what determines, with our business model, whether we're going to sustain ourselves or not. Currently, if the figures that I've seen are correct, about 7% of the people that listen are members of our local stations. Now, the average in non-commercial radio is supposed to be about 15%. In the same way, our time spent listening, the average weekly Pacifica listener spends 5 hours a week. In non-commercial radio, that average is 15. It's three times that number. And these are indices of performance that determine how well we're doing. So if we ignore the fact that we're losing our audience, we're ignoring the fact that we're running out of money, we're running out of people that will give us money, and we're relying on the same people to give us more and more money. And we're in that crisis right now, and, you know, my concern has been that absent any structure or objective measures, you know, there's no place for us to go but downward. And we have to stop that. And the only people that are going to stop that are the people in the PNB. The local stations have known about this for 5 years, and there's been no leadership from the local stations or from national management to say, hey, this is not good enough.
Okay, I would like to find out if...
I'd like to verify what I just heard, and I'll let it go if I could.
I'm sorry?
I'd like to just summarize what he said and make sure I'm clear on the answer, if I could, just real quickly.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to cut down on the back and forth so that we can move on to the next.
Okay. In one sentence, Rob, basically what I'm hearing is we know we have a shrinking minority of people who are 55, and we have no idea how to attract anybody else. Is that what you're saying?
We have no plans to attract anybody else. I would say that there are people all over the network that know how to do it, but we have no plans to do it, and we have nobody at a local station that's implementing those plans.
But we have no focus groups, no research, no... Okay, thank you. That's what I needed.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rob. Were there any other direct comments or questions for Rob before we go to the next part of this meeting?
Yes, Kathy, I have a question. This is Dave with WSLR.
Okay, Dave.
Rob, I appreciate your presentation because you seem to have what is left of our historical knowledge of the programming committee. Was there ever in place, when you look back, could you see that, has it always been this way?
Pretty much so. I mean, I think we've had people. It's pretty much been this way, David. Yes.
So it's kind of been like freeform radio for 60 years.
every station kind of does their own thing. I think that there was, you know, historically, a difference in the type of programming that we produce. In the first 25 years, we went from one station to five stations. And we basically revolutionized what non-commercial radio was about, and in breaking most of the rules of radio at the time, we did things like invented freeform radio. We drew attention to the civil rights movement. We drew attention to the Vietnam War. We were the people that created that in a number of issues. And in the last 25 years, Pacifica has added no stations and has been, you know, basically off the radar screen in terms of progressive media.
Okay. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I'd like to thank you, Robin, and everyone for your response. What I'd like to do now is to begin to engage in a discussion about what we see as some of our goals, what we might be able to accomplish moving forward, how we can build on what's being done, and perhaps maybe with this new committee we can bring some fresh perspective to where we might be able to go with this committee. And I wanted to start also by giving a little bit of historical perspective. When Pacifica was encumbered by the unfortunate politics of that coup period, when we came back from that and there was an enormous amount of support that came into the stations, I think across the country, a lot of money was made that first year or two. And I think what happened as a result of that is that the network as well as the stations began to spend and began to construct their budgets based on that high period. And I don't think that it was dealt with as kind of an anomaly. It was the assumption was is that we were, you know, sitting pretty and we were going to have all this support. And then a lot of expenses were built in during that time. There was an increase in staff, certainly at the national level. There was increases at the local level. And from my understanding is that, you know, people were living pretty high. And then a decline set in. And then what happened is that there were no adjustments made as the money began to decrease. Adjustments weren't made, and the network has finally reached the state that it's in right now. So from my perspective, programming is part of the problem, but not the whole problem. So I think that we have to really, from my perspective, I want us to really look at the programming to see how we can improve and move forward and have some kind of breakthrough in the quality of our programming, but understand that there are different ways of looking at the state of Pacifica right now. Programming is just a piece of it. And also I feel that in the programming committee, what I felt for a very long time about Pacifica is that we've reached a point where the stations cannot raise all the money that the network needs. So I would like for the programming committee to consider what it would mean to have a fundraising arm that would just be out there going to foundations and raising money to support programming. And I say that I was here when Democracy Now! Was formulated. It was created with a budget of about $100,000 to $120,000, and that amount of money was divided among the five stations, and it started with staff, with support staff, and with a budget. So when we talk about that the network needs national programming, we have to understand that that's going to take money to create that. So I feel that that has to be one of our considerations. And so that's generally what I wanted to offer as we begin to move forward. And I'd like to hear from all of you what your ideas might be on how we can move forward.
This is George.
George, yeah.
Well, two things come to mind. One is I think we absolutely must push the GMs, and the PNB has to support the IED in pushing the GMs to get some sort of evaluation of these programs in place that actually makes some sense. Calling the listeners, finding out, you know, focus groups. There are lots of ways to do it, and certainly the Arbitron is a part of it, and having the people meters in place, it seems to me, is that we now have at least some measure of whether a particular program has actually got an audience, other than whether or not it raises money. I think that's we absolutely have to have that in place, and I think we just need to keep on pushing on the GMs to see to it that they come through on that. The other thing is, you suggested going out for foundation money. I don't know how that, you know, plays politically, but my thought was that particularly at this time, where there's an awareness of the sort of shortfall of local news and investigative reporting, that we might actually be able to get a foundation grant to develop network-wide news resources, building on what's available in each of the stations where there isn't. And we actually do at KPFC have a pretty successful local news station, and actually won a local award not too long ago. But we might very well be able to get a foundation grant to do that, and have it perhaps morph into, particularly if we could bring the affiliates in as well as sort of news sources. You have all these people on the ground throughout the country. I mean, surely we could get a kind of a national news that would have a different flavor from the sort of stuff that you hear that you're hearing now. Anyway, I think it's a good idea. I think it's worth trying. I'm wondering whether there's a political will to actually go out and ask the foundations for some money on this.
I would hope that there is, but. Does anyone else have any thoughts on what our priority should be moving forward?
Well, this is David.
Yes, David.
Coming from a local station, my perspective may be a little bit different. I think we have to get our internal house in order. I support you, George, that we got to get the general managers to get a better structure in place. you know, Kathy, I agree with you that I don't think the resources are there right now for another national program. When we try to compete with something like, even competing with Democracy Now! As an affiliate, in a lot of ways you would be competing with the affiliates would be looking at it as another national news show, when most of the affiliates, I'm not so sure, will carry both. I think that, you know, as a real local station that we are here, is, you know, our stress is always local, local, local. And I don't think that the stations, on some level, have done their work locally. You know, and I think that that's where you actually measure this product that we have is locally. I know that the West Coast would like another national program because of the time differentiation between Democracy Now! And Democracy and West Coast. But I think our resources are better, and to get these station managers to put in place a way to measure their programs and evaluate their programs and clean house locally, if cleaning house is what needs to be done. We do it on an annual basis. I emailed Sean in L.A., and because I had talked to him when I was out there, and I got no response from him. I was willing to give him our contracts. I don't know if there are programmer contracts at all the stations. Are they standardized? To me, those are some of the things the programming committee I'd like to know. Are there rules and regs that are standardized? Does every station have a separate rules and regs, separate contract, separate evaluation policy? It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me to have five different ways of doing something.
You make a good point, and my understanding is that each station is different. And I believe that's part of the frustration that Rob was talking about in trying to unify certain policies. When you have five very independent stations, it's been very difficult. But I think maybe that's something that we could consider doing here, is providing some middle ground and ask people to create contracts with the producers, or to, you know, we can create those policies here.
Yeah, we can create them, but I think it's not to our advantage to create them. I think that it'd be much better if it came from them, if the five GMs got together and said, listen, we need to create this standardized among ourselves. I feel more comfortable if it comes from the station managers than from the PNB, you know, because then it, you know, the appearance is it's just top-down stuff, and I don't think we're about that. You know?
Well, okay. Does anyone else have a comment before I respond to that? No? Hello?
I do. This is Rob. I have a response.
Okay, Rob.
Number one, David, we are the listeners, okay?
Right.
Number two, the general manager, the last time we developed a national program was what, Kathy? 96, 97?
Yeah, about.
I mean, and we know that it was. We know how popular it was. It raised one out of every $4 for a period of time, until their intelligent distribution strategies made them available to people all over the country. You know, they're doing very successfully. We're not doing the things they're doing, and now we're in danger of not even being able to afford the money that it costs for Democracy Now! Because our audiences have sunk so low. You know, number three, when you talk about localism, most of our stations have got like a one- or two-part audience. We're not attracting, you know, significant numbers. We have some of the most powerful stations, and in each of the signal areas, although we're very, very powerful, we have extremely small audiences. And these audiences haven't grown. Rather, they've shrunk. You know, I agree that localism is important, but we're not proving at the local station level that we're producing local news or local programming that's competitive for, you know, for those local audiences. And if you look at our mission, you know, for example, we provide almost no programming anywhere for children and youth, which should be a part of our mission. Some of our stations are very, I would say, extremely news and public affairs challenged, and we're not doing anything to change that. You know, you've got stations where it's very rare to see a special developed or a series. And number four, I think we should go to foundations. But when you go to a foundation, and I've been to foundations on behalf of Pacifica, and the thing that they want to know is, if you're going to create a program and we're going to fund it, we want to be clear that it's going to run at all stations. And right now we have a situation where the local station general managers won't air programs that are produced elsewhere, even when those programs are popular. So we have a terrible problem not with localism but with parochialism. And we don't have policies at the local station levels for these things. You know, we do not have a plan to move programs that are underperforming or that are past their sell-by dates, you know, out of that status and to make room for new voices. And because our resources are being cut back at the local station level, as Kathy pointed out, the production capacity and the program development capacity that we have is dwindling. So at many of our stations, the only types of programs that you're likely to hear are talking head shows where somebody is a host and they interview somebody that comes into the studio or they talk to somebody over the telephone. And that's it. And the programs tend to be duplicative and sound alike. And that's not attracting audience. That's losing audience, David. So I think that localism is great, but localism, the way we're practicing it, is not bringing new and more listeners to us. It's losing the base that we had. Thank you.
Okay. Would anyone else like to add, comment, or offer their suggestion?
I have a comment. This is for Rob. I mean, your description of, you know, a show in which people come in and are interviewed on talking heads, I mean, that describes Democracy Now. There's something else that's got to be the distinguishing feature between you know, what works and what doesn't work.
I think Democracy Now! Is an extremely well-produced show. It covers a lot of different topics. It brings you news and commentary and interviews. Many of the shows that we see at local stations are not produced or not scripted. The people come into the studio and they talk off the top of their head. You know that, George. We have some very successful music programs at WPFW, some very, very good music programs. We have one extraordinary program that is incredibly produced. It's called The Collectors, and you have a number of people that get together every week, and they talk about musical genres, particular artists, from different perspectives. You get sociological, musicological perspectives, and it's very well done. The other musical programs that we have tend to be somebody coming in and playing records and not speaking so much. Some of those shows are enormously popular. At WPFW, for example, on the weekend, our audiences are higher than our non-commercial competitors and many of our commercial competitors. But on the weekday, which is when you have the news and public affairs programming, they're very, very, very low. So I think that the difficulty is not simply the format, it's how well you produce it and whether it's produced. And those things are going to result in audience or not. I'm sorry, thank you.
Okay, thanks. But I think it's important for us to, when we speak in terms of our knowledge of our station, is not to presume the same is true for every station, because the way it looks to me, different stations have different kinds of problems. Because in New York, we raise more money with public affairs than with arts programming, but our arts programming probably has higher share, might have a higher audience share. So it's the way things work are really very complicated, and I think it's looking to me like part of what we could accomplish is to really look station by station and try to see what's working and what's not, because not only are the stations different, but the markets are different. Does anyone else have a thought or comment about how we could move forward?